I didn't get to hear the message of our president. It was delivered over the radio because I was on board a train returning from Des Moines, Iowa, where I had made a speech on last Saturday. But I will say to you that at the place of Des Moines, I took a vote of the crowd, some 20,000 highly educated and intelligent people. And without one single exception, every hand was raised into the air, favoring the plan for redistribution of wealth, and not one hand was raised against it. But to get back to my point, not having heard the president speak, as I returned to Washington, I stepped over to my office where I was approached by an officer. He said to me, he says, I heard the president speak last night. And I asked him, I said, what did he say? He said to just keep waiting. But the president of the United States has long since forgotten the pledge and promise which he made and on which he was nominated and elected the president. He promised in terms that were certain, in language which could not be misunderstood, that he would break up the size of the big fortunes of this country and use it to build the common people up from the ground to where they had something on which to live in comfort. He made that promise in the speech that he delivered in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was that speech that was the basis on which I declared for him as president. I gave him the Louisiana delegation, helped him to get several others on the promises that he made in that Atlanta speech. He made that promise when he accepted the nomination of the Democratic Party at the Chicago Convention. He made that promise in other speeches which he delivered during the campaign for president. I was sent into state after state, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and into Kansas, directly from the then candidate for president, Mr. Roosevelt. And I was sent there to tell the people that when Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt became the president of the United States, that the big fortunes would be whittled down to a reasonable limit in size, and that thereby the common run of mankind would be built up from the bottom, at least to the point where all of our people had a home and the comforts of life for their families, with steady employment to all labor and profit over production costs to all the farmers. What I say as to these promises by our president will not be disputed by him or by anyone else. They are in indelible type. They are in letters and pamphlets that cannot be disputed or questioned. But now in the third year of his administration, we find more of our people unemployed than at any other time. We find our houses empty and our people hungry, many of them half clothed and many of them not clothed at all. Mr. Hopkins announced $22 million on the dole, a new high water mark in that particular sum a few weeks ago. We find not only the people going further into debt, but that the United States is going further into debt. The states are going further into debt, and the cities and towns are even going into bankruptcy. The condition has become deplorable. Instead of his promises, the only remedy that Mr. Roosevelt has prescribed is to borrow more money if he can and to go further into debt. The last move was to borrow $5 billion more, on which we must pay interest for the balance of our lifetime and probably during the lifetime of our children. And with it all, there stalks the slimy specter of want, hunger, destitution, and pestilence, all because of the fact that in the land of too much to eat and of too much to wear, our president has failed in his promise to have these necessities of life distributed into the hands of the people who have need of them. Now the jet-black shadow of our want and misery came upon us step by step with certain precision, day after day, month after month, and year after year. There were investigations and studies made both by private bodies and governmental agencies to find out the cause of our trouble. The whole matter was studied very seriously up to as late as the year 1916-1920. The departments of the United States government and many of our statesmen and newspapers and other journals openly stated that our growing trouble was caused by too much of our wealth getting into the hands of too few of our people. All of them said that we had to turn things around the other way, so as to have the people owning less and less, so as to have the masses owning more and more. That is, that the few should own less and the more people should own more.